Well, I spoke with his grandmother this morning. She was on the flight coming over. And she did. And she asked me, will he get back involved? And I couldn't lie to her. I said, well, he'll have a chance.
Roy Keane meeting Stephen Ireland's granny on a plane. This is the Why Big Football Show. I'm Dave O'Grady. Coming up, I'll be chatting to Irish defender Rob Kiernan, who's helping Wigan Athletic push for Premier League promotion with some solid defensive displays. We'll also have our League of Ireland Goalmouth show, and I'll be getting the views from former Waterford manager and League of Ireland goalkeeper Stephen Henderson about the recent develops at Cork City and Limerick. The future of Munster underage football is certainly very good indeed. If you'd like to contact the show, you can mail dave@talkingsport.org, and it's @talkingsport.org on Twitter and facebook.com/talkingsport.org. It's that simple. I want to kickstart the show tonight by looking at the new international friendly leagues that's set to be introduced. I'm joined by Extra Time journalist Pete Kelly. Pete, a great opportunity for Ireland here, I think. We'll never have a meaningless friendly again.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea. I mean, I think they had to do something because the games were losing the public appeal. They obviously are a very they're a large source of revenue to all the associations, not just the Irish. So I think something had to be done. And I think since Platini has taken over at UEFA, he's always been sometimes controversial, but he's always trying to move things on and, you know, buck the status quo a bit. I think it's good.
I know FAI chief executive John Delaney came out hailing the move by FIFA and UEFA. They said it was a really good chance for Ireland. Now, it's teams like Ireland, Pete, that I'd imagine this benefits most, because sometimes we get drawn in really difficult groups in the qualifiers. So this is kind of a whole extra way of getting in. If we do well in these games, you never know, we can pick up a place at the Euros or at the World Cup.
Yeah, I think so. I think one of the attractions really is going to be the sort of mini league within a league thing, where if you have 16 teams in the league, it's going to be played on like 4x4 team mini leagues. So you'll be playing teams who are around yourself in the rankings. I think the difficulty would be is climbing the rankings is not going to be as easy as it was. A lot of people climbed the rankings by reeling off a load of, you know, friendly wins against teams that were nondescript or teams who weren't putting out much of a team. So I think from that respect, it might, you know, the rankings may end up being real. I think overall it's good. It'll generate some revenue. It'll give the you know, the boys in green something to play for and the fans in green something to shout about.
That's a key point, I think, Pete, for the FAI as well. It'll bring people to the stadium for the friendlies. I know, of course, there has been some friendly matches where we've barely struggled to get a crowd. I think Georgia 2 years ago, where we had I think it was the lowest ever attendance at an Irish match for a long time. I think about 14,000 in the Aviva Stadium.
Yeah, I mean, and that can't be sustained. And the other thing that we have to look at as well is, you know, when Big Jack took the team over and we went on that roller coaster ride, and, you know, it generated huge revenue apart from the team doing well. And that's what's helped the grassroots of the game in Ireland. And that's what guys are coming up through the leagues and the League of Ireland. And, you know, that money, like the FAI now have numerous, you know, development officers around the country. But when Big Jack came in and the guys, and when the first revenue streams that were came on stream, we didn't have any of that. So there's a network has been put in place, and that has to be paid for. And it's the senior international team that pay for that, to be honest.
Yeah, I think their big plan is to introduce these friendlies around dates that never really got the good coverage of friendlies, when, you know, dates that they were the really, really kind of meaningless dates where they just have a whole card of international friendlies on. I think that's their main aim. But would this stop us, though, in a way of trying out players? Would there be a pressure on the management team always to put our best foot forward?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think it's going to be during the club season, and there's going to be some, the enlightened managers will take the enlightened approach. And what they'll say is if a player needs a rest, they're going to rest him because they're going to need him some other time. And it allows you to blood players, like bring in two young players, you know, maybe stick a young centre half in beside a Richard Dunn type, rather than playing two guys at the same time and they get taken apart. So I think it offers an opportunity to blend players in on a one or two at a time basis and see how they go. Because nobody does well, you know, in their first couple of internationals if they're just dropped in from a great height.
If it was around during Brian Kerr's reign as Ireland manager, no doubt he would have done very good. I remember he beat the likes of Portugal, Turkey, Denmark, Russia. He had some terrific wins, a draw with Brazil as well.
Mm. Yeah, I think, you know, I think going back to the Brian Kerr era, he started off really, really well. And then I think he started thinking about it too much. In that, you know, I think he lost a bit of taking the risk as things went on and became more and more conservative as a manager. And so I think what he brought to it at the start, he may have lost, but maybe that's what management at senior international level does for you. It makes you old very fast.
Indeed. And just finally, before I let you go, Pete, one of the biggest bonuses, as you said about this, is there's a good chance Ireland will be taking on teams that are around us in the rankings. And that's one of the things that I know a lot of fans have made the point about. We should be strategic in the friendlies that we play, because there's a lot of teams that are ranked similar to Ireland that are certainly beatable.
Oh yeah, and I think, you know, that's a respect if you're looking at the rankings. Currently, when we play friendlies, realistically, our only modus operandi is to try and play the most glamorous team we can, because that's going to bring the best revenue that we can get out of it from an FAI perspective. And you'd have to agree with them in that, because if the friendly really doesn't matter, but if the guys get to watch the Italians, you know, or somebody like that, and it puts, you know, 45 bums on seats, then that's much needed money. And when the league comes in, it'll be different. But for the moment, that's got to be the way forward.
Pete Kelly, thanks a million for joining us.
Thanks very much, Dave.
You're listening to the Why Big Football Show on Freak FM. Get involved with the show. Email dave@talkingsport.org. That's dave@talkingsport.org. We're also on Twitter and on Facebook. Chat to you soon. Coming through the ranks at Watford, he has a wealth of experience playing in clubs like Yeovil, Brentford, Bradford, Kilmarnock and Southend. He now finds himself right in the thick of it, helping Wigan Athletic push for championship promotion and FA Cup glory. He's also a former Irish under-21 captain. Rob Kiernan, thanks a million for joining us on the programme.
No worries.
Rob, first, congratulations, I have to say, on breaking into the Wigan side in what seems like the perfect time to be involved with the club. You guys had a draw this week, but a very good win last week. But what was it like playing against your former club?
It was quite unusual, to be fair, to be, you know, you're giving your debut like your full start against your old parent club. But it didn't really faze me too much, to be honest. I was more excited about just playing rather than, you know, worrying about who it was against. You know, we managed to get a nice little win there. And, you know, I played QPR on the following Tuesday. We probably deserved something out of that game, but unfortunately lost 1-0. But yeah, it's been nice to get in the team, and hopefully it can continue a bit more.
Yeah, there's a bit of a feel-good factor, it's probably fair to say, Rob, around Wigan at the moment. You know, there's a good push on for the promotion places, and you guys have been very, very competitive recently. Great to be at the club at the moment.
Yeah, of course, it's a brilliant time to be there, and especially under, you know, the new manager who I knew quite well, Brentford. He's come in and he's changed a lot, and he's obviously done quite well. You know, you can see it from the table. We come in probably sort of 15th in the table, you know, now up to 5th, and we're pushing for that promotion spot, and it's a good time to, you know, be around the club. It's a, you know, there's positive vibes everywhere you go, you know what I mean? They're not really too worried about what's going on elsewhere around us. We're more focused on, you know, our targets, and, you know, hopefully that can be done this season.
Yeah, it's a real family club, Wigan, Rob. A great support there. I know when things are going well, it's always a huge atmosphere there, and particularly now going for the promotion, right in the thick of the promotion race and trying to get into those playoff places. No doubt the fans have been great as well.
Yeah, of course, and that's a boost for all of us, do you know what I mean? You know, they've stuck with us, you know, start of the season when things weren't going so well, and like for now we're repaying them a little bit, you know, some good football and, you know, some vital wins, you know, up and down the country. So we all appreciate what they're doing for us, and we need them just as much as we need everyone else around us to help, you know. So it's a big family support, it's a big a big ask for everyone, but you know, hopefully we can repay them.
The championship,
end of the season.
Indeed, and fingers crossed that you guys do. The championship, Rob, has been so competitive this year. You know, the likes of QPR, Derby County, Reading, Forest, those are big clubs all around you guys. For anybody on the outside looking in, it's almost impossible to call.
No, it is as well. And you know, if you look up and down the league, there's a lot of players that have been, you know, in the Premiership, you know, played the highest level. You know, they're now in championship teams, and people underestimate the championship a little bit. You know, it's a very, very tough league. You know, anyone can beat anyone. It's just the people who can find form and consistency at this later stage of the season that, you know, are going to push for that place. So, yeah, I can say it's a tough league, and, you know, hopefully, you know, we can be one of the three that go up, and that's our aim, so hopefully we can achieve it.
And you mentioned earlier there, Rob, that it has been a bit of a regrouping job for you guys, having come down from the Premier League, and it was quite a difficult start, and then the new manager came in with a bit of a mountain to climb, but you've done very well.
Yeah, he's done spectacularly well. You know, he's changed the whole mentality of the whole group, I think. You know, even around the training ground, you know, everyone's on the same wavelength, and you know, we're all organised. We know, you know, exactly what our game plan is each game. You know, we play different teams. We rotate the squad. You know, it's quite different to what he was under Coyle. You know, but it's obviously working. And you know, I believe that he's got enough, you know, experience now to sort of guide us through this and hopefully achieve it.
And it's always difficult for Premier League teams when they drop down to the Championship. Was the main aim from the start just to be kind of in the mix for promotion? Because everybody wants to get those automatic promotion places, but with so many big clubs down there in the Championship and being so competitive these days, to be in the mix for the promotion and into those playoff places, that must have been the aim from the start, was it?
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, if you know, was coming earlier, you know, we might even be, you know, a little bit higher than we are now, but, you know, because he's done a fantastic job. But that was our aim. That was the chairman's aim. And, you know, we're on track. You know, we're not doing too bad. So we'll see.
It's exciting. And the FA Cup, Rob, for the lads there, a good distraction is probably fair to say. Wigan trying to defend it.
Yeah, of course. I mean, you know, they hold that, and, you know, it's a nice distraction to get away from the league, I suppose, but I think everyone's, you know, main focus is, you know, the job at hand. But, you know, they go down to Wembley in a few weeks to play Arsenal, and unfortunately I can't be involved in that because I played in an FA Cup game on loan earlier in the season. But, you know, I'm a buzzing for the lads, you know, and I personally think they can get past Arsenal, and, you know, it's in our hands. So, good tough game, you know that, but, you know, I'm quietly confident in the lads, and I think they are as well.
Yeah, hopefully they do. I think Wigan has been everybody's number one team in the FA Cup this season, which is really great to see. For yourself now, Rob, a bit about your career. What was it like for you coming through the youth ranks at Watford? There seems to be a great crop of young players who started their careers there. Of course, I think you got to work with the great Brendan Rodgers, which must have been very special.
Yeah, no, I mean, I can't thank Watford enough for what they've done. You know, I mean, they've produced a lot of young talent. You know, a lot of people have come through there, and Brendan Rodgers was, you know, he gave me my debut, and he was very influential, and, you know, probably where I am now, to be fair, and I owe him quite a lot, you know, and I thought his work he did at Watford, you know, wasn't for a long time, but you could tell he was going places. You know, he was going to go to the top. You know, he was so detailed, and made all the players feel so confident, and, you know, he deserves to be where he is now at Liverpool, and hopefully you'll win the Premier League with him as well.
Yeah, it must be great for yourself as well, Rob, seeing Brendan challenge for a Premier League title.
Yeah. I mean, I've just watched the game there against Tottenham, and, you know, he's got a couple of players there who they've bought into his, you know, his philosophy a little bit, and you can see now that it's obviously working, so I'm really happy for him.
It's exciting stuff, it really is. And a little bit about your Ireland career, Rob. You captained the under-21s. How did you find international football? No doubt a completely different challenge to what you were used to.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the lads will all tell you that, you know, international football is a little bit slower, and you play against players that aren't probably as physical as what we're used to over in England, but, you know, it's very technical, and, you know, just the style is very different, and you have to be quite patient at times not to sort of dive in and sort of give silly free kicks and fouls away where they can punch you, do you know what I mean? So you have to, it is different, and it takes a little bit of time to adapt, especially when you're playing away from home in the heat, everything comes into consideration. But I've enjoyed it. I've really enjoyed the company. Unfortunately, we didn't do that well with our campaign. But, you know, we had good players, and a few of the lads moved up to the first team while I was there, and, you know, I'm hopefully I can get back into playing for Ireland again one day.
Indeed, Rob. You know, it wasn't the most successful campaigns in terms of getting through. But having said that, there was you yourself as well. You had been involved in some very good performances and that, and there was some good results along the way.
Yeah, I mean, there was. You know, we can't take anything away from ourselves. We did do well, but it's hard because you know we don't train with each other every day like you do at your club. You know, we have very limited time together to gel and to. You know, to get bonds all over the pitch with different partnerships or whatever. Do you know what I mean? So it is difficult, but you know, I enjoyed it and we had some good performances and it was a good experience. And you know, I'm thankful for it.
Noel King as well, the under 21 manager, he'd always talk the team up. And I know a lot of under 21 players, they've said over the years that he always used to give them a lot of confidence and encourage them to express themselves. Did you find that was the way that he wanted the team to play when you were involved?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Noel made everyone feel, you know. You know, they deserve to be here, and you know there was a lot of you know pride at stake as well. You know, we wanted to perform. Don't get me wrong, we wanted to win, and we wanted to qualify, and we wanted to go on to bigger and better things. But it's just unfortunate we couldn't do that. And you know, I personally would like another chance at that. You know, further, you know along down the line. But you know, Noel was brilliant. Yeah, he helped all the lads out, and it's just difficult because he doesn't get a lot of time with us all as well. It's you know, we get together for maybe 3 or 4 days before a game, you know, and it's difficult to get training sessions in without fatiguing players. Do you know what I mean? So it's difficult, but yeah. You've done well, and you know, hopefully you can achieve something in the future as well.
The prospects do look good, and the players from your group, they've a lot of them have now become kind of established players for the Ireland senior team, particularly the likes of Robbie Brady and James McCarthy. Yeah. Shane Duffy and Jeff Hendrick, they've been in and around the mix too. Do you feel you'll be able to follow in their footsteps and put your hand up for selection?
I hope so. That's my aim. I'd like to you know, get back involved with it, and you know, the young lads have done well, and you know, hopefully that gives the manager, you know, confidence that other young lads can do well, and you know, we're all playing at sort of good levels, and you know, championship or above, and hopefully my name can be thrown in there in the future, and hopefully I can take my chance when I get it.
And the likes of James McLean and Chris McCann, two other big Irish players that have been involved at Wigan, a bonus for yourself having those boys there.
Yeah, of course. You know, they're great players. You know, James has been on fire this season. You know, he works hard in the training pitch, and so does Chris. And unfortunately, got injured against City in the cup. But yeah, they're good lads, and they work hard, and you know, they're professional, and they're hungry to you know be playing every week in their clubs and representing the country as well. So it's nice being having a few other people around me in the same boat.
Indeed, and especially as James is already in the Irish squad. I know Chris, as you said, he got a bad knee injury and we wish him a speedy recovery. But perhaps if Martin O'Neill and Roy Keane are selecting a big squad, Rob, for the upcoming summer friendlies, they might take a trip down to the DW and you could be in there with a real chance.
Yeah, well, I'd like to think so. I'd like to think that, you know, even if you can just bring me in for the friendly games, just have a look. You know, see what he thinks, and then you know I can make a decision. He can make a decision from there. But you know, I'll do everything I can to sort of you know get myself in there and hopefully perform well at Wigan when I get my chances, and hopefully you can see that and maybe take a chance and have a go.
Exactly, because I was just thinking, you know, Martin O'Neill has come out saying that he has a very open mind when it comes to squad selections and he's always willing to explore all possibilities. And for younger players like yourself, it's obviously very encouraging to hear. Would it give you confidence knowing that they're watching you play?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, it's an added little incentive in the, not that, you know, players need it anyway because, you know, we want to perform every week for our clubs, you know, in the best way we can, but you know, an extra pair of eyes up there that in the stand that, you know, you think if I do well here, then I could be getting myself a little call up, then yeah, it spurs you on a little bit more. But, you know, I'll take it as it comes. If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. You know, I'll just try my hardest to do, to try and persuade him and give me a little chance. So we'll see. I'm not going to sort of get too carried away or too frustrated if nothing comes of it. But, you know, but of course, my intentions are there to be selected, and hopefully I can put on the green shirt again and represent the country again.
Indeed, and you're certainly going about it the right way. What about your old teammate James McCarthy, Rob? You must be delighted seeing him really proving himself at Everton this season. His work rate is top class. Has he always been a quality player that he is now?
Yeah, I mean, when I first came to Wigan, he was I didn't really know Jamesy that well, but you know, you can see from his performances at Everton now, and when he was at Wigan, his work rate was a joke, you know. And I think if you look at some of the pro zone stats and stuff after the games, the distance he was covering, and not so much the distance he's covering, but what he's actually doing with the ball and off it. Do you know what I mean? He's a full package, and that's why he's playing every week in the Premiership. Everton, And he's a massive player for Ireland as well. So, yeah, I'm really happy for him, and he deserves all the success he's going to get. So.
Yeah, a lot of people still say he was an absolute bargain for Everton, getting such a good player. And for yourself, now, I know you've played in central midfield in the past. Are you happy enough continuing as a defender, or would there be a hope to get back into the centre midfield role in the future?
No, to be honest, I prefer playing centre back. I've grown up sort of playing there, but I can do the defensive holding midfield role. You know, when asked, you know, the manager at Wigan, he likes to put me in that role sometimes, you know, just to see games out, and I'm happy to play wherever, to be honest. But my preferred position would be to play centre-back, yeah.
Okay, well, Rob, I wish you the very best of luck for the rest of this season, and I'm sure the most ideal situation for the next time we speak would be for you to be maybe a regular Premier League player with Wigan, having been promoted, the club successfully defending the FA Cup and heading out to link up with the Irish senior squad for the European qualifiers. That would probably be a bit of a dream come true if everything went to plan.
That would be, wouldn't it? Yeah, I mean, that would be great. So fingers crossed for me, and we'll see what happens.
Thanks a million for joining us, Rob.
Brilliant. Thanks a lot.
You're listening to the Why Big Football Show on Freak FM. Get involved with the show. Email dave@talkingsport.org. That's dave@talkingsport.org. We're also on Twitter and on Facebook. Chat to you soon. Shamrock Rovers and Cork City are in the driving force in the league so far. It's shaping up nicely indeed with lots of talking points. This is League of Ireland Goalmouth. I'm Dave O'Grady. You can check us out every week on Goal Ireland, and you can search for hashtag LOI on Twitter. I'm going to be chatting to Peter Staunton and Ryan Kelly about the week's action shortly, but first I want to look at two terrific projects that are underway. They are set to transform underage and youth football in Munster for years to come. Joining me is former Waterford manager and League of Ireland goalkeeper Stephen Henderson from the Henderson Goalkeeping Clan. Thanks a million, Stephen, for joining us.
No problem, my friend. Thanks for asking.
Stephen, Roy Keane was down in Cork to launch Cork City's new patronage scheme in support of the club's underage education and development fund. The scheme's going to allow Cork to provide great opportunities for underage players in addition to the best coaching possible and hopefully a clear pathway to senior football. It's a terrific initiative, Stephen. Football and education really should go hand in hand, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I think John Giles tried to introduce something similar to this back in 1978, would you believe, Dave? So, where, you know, Cork City, what they're doing, it's extremely good for the league. The potential that it has, provided it's done correctly, is huge for the, as you say, the players in Munster. But any form of forward thinking from any League of Ireland club needs to be supported. And while in theory the scheme is an excellent concept, you just hope that the people in Munster, and particularly in Cork, get behind them.
Indeed you do. I know you were saying about John Giles, it's something that's long overdue, and people like that have been really trying to get things like this up and running. I know Roy Keane mentioned at the launch that he regretted not doing both football and education. Of course, in the past, Stephen, it was probably a case where it was one or the other. This is kind of breaking a lot of boundaries.
It is now, but it's just unfortunate that it's like it's a 2014 for it to happen. I referenced Giles because Giles, my brother Dave, had an option to either sign for Coventry City or Shamrock Rovers.
Yeah.
And at that time, it was John Giles had accumulated a partnership with one of the colleges in Crumlin, so the education was very important even back then. So, yes, it is really important for players to maintain their education outside of the game. I think there's a 95% return rate from the young players who go over to England from Ireland. So having something to fall back on is really important. But these type of schemes, maybe what we can do is get the kids to play at a high level of football, to educate them, so if they do have something to fall back, should it not work, but also allows them to go over to England slightly older, and when homesickness and such like is not a problem, and they're more adult and able to make more mature decisions when they're over there.
Yeah, it's kind of like what Cork are trying to do. I think their whole aim is to develop their young players, not as footballers, but also as a person as well.
And it's really important that happens, because I think to become a footballer, first and foremost, that you have to have a certain mental strength about you. And mental strength comes from a lot of different factors within your life. And education gives you the confidence to be mentally strong. So everything that they do is with Cork City here, it really is a fantastic initiative. And it does, as you say, it does help develop the player, both in an educational sense and in a football sense. So, like I said, it's brilliant. I really hope it works, but most importantly, I really hope it's backed by the local community and some of the schemes and the different, I think they have gold, silver, platinum. I think they have these schemes, and I really hope the local community get on and see what the benefits are and really help the young people of Cork.
Yeah.
To because this is about young people. This is about community. This is about getting businesses on board. Cork are fan-owned, which is fantastic. There's a great bunch of people running that. So, it's brilliant that, and it's a wonderful opportunity for not just to own a football club, but be part of some young lad's education to go from a footballer to a professional footballer and to be part of that in some small way. It's a great opportunity for the local public to get involved with.
Yeah, it really is. People really bringing the community in there. We actually had new Bohemians player Stephen Beattie on the show last week talking about the opportunities that he had in the USA and, getting to study and play at the same time. Now, I know a lot of other countries have started this kind of method, but it seems like we've been waiting so long for a club or, colleges in Ireland really to lead the way from a soccer point of view.
Well, it does, and it requires leadership. And, sometimes I get criticised because I'm very outspoken in terms of the pathways that are here for players in Ireland. And, I do believe that we have the talent here in terms of fitness experts, in terms of educational experts, in terms of coaching, to develop our own programme. We're going over, and I hear Shamrock Rovers are looking at Malmo, and they're looking to implement the Malmo structure. So why should we be introducing a Scandinavian structure to Shamrock Rovers? Shamrock Rovers have the facilities, they have the finance, and they have the brains to implement Shamrock Rovers model. And really what we should be looking at here is not looking at 17 and 19-year-olds and developing them then. If we could get a League of Ireland club that can take young players from as young as 7 and 8 all the way through the pathway, integrate them into the educational system, then we'd be really on the forefront of developing a proper module and a development program, the Irish one.
Absolutely.
Not the Belgian one, the German one, not the Spanish one, the Irish one. And it just takes a few clubs to come up with a little bit of foresight, trust themselves, believe in their ability, believe in the people that they have. And I think we'll move forward there in Cork City. And I believe Limerick are doing as well. It's brilliant what these two clubs are doing.
It really is. And very interesting when you said that, develop an actual Irish way, because I know a lot of people do tend to say that, the Spanish way is the way to go, Belgian is the way to go, the Scandinavian countries is the way to go. But I think a lot of people agree with you there, Stephen. If we can develop our own way, we can't lose, really. It's an upward curve. Now, a lot of young kids as well, we talk about getting better player welfare and that kind of thing, but from the young kids playing football, having options like this available, it's going to hopefully bring them to choose this option as a pathway forward rather than drop out of football, because I think it was always kind of black and white in the past where, if you're going to be a professional footballer, you have to go to England. But that's not the case. With things like this that Cork are doing, it might stop a lot of talented players here in this country dropping out.
Well, I agree with you, because once they go to England and it doesn't work out for them, as we were saying, there's a statistic out there, 95% of them are coming back, and something like 80% of them are starting dropping out of the game altogether, which is really, really unfortunate. So what you're saying is, and what Cork City are trying to achieve, and what Limerick are trying to achieve, is to put this pathway in place that, you can still go. I think what we've proven is that you can go to England at 20, 21, 22, 23. You can still go at that age, and we have to stop this mentality that if you don't go to England by the time you're 12, 13, 14 or 15, then your career is over. This mentality has to stop, and that's coming from within. That pressure is coming from within, from the structures that we have here in place. The fact is, League of Ireland football is a very good standard of football. There's an awful lot of very good coaches involved with League of Ireland football, And I think if people are watching matches lately or going to games lately, the standard is year on year improving. With new players coming into the league, the standard of play is better. Tactically, it's improving. And a lot of the grounds are improving, so to make the match day experience more enjoyable. So the fundamentals are there. I think as a nation, we have to start believing in ourselves, believing in the people that we have here on our doorstep, that we are capable of putting structures in place to keep young players here in this country, and if they don't go to England or anywhere else in Europe for that matter, that there's still a viable football career for them here. And allied with an educational program, a lot of the UCD players, when they start playing, a lot of them are solicitors, yeah. And they have great jobs, you know what I mean? So, football can be played at a very high level. And, you know, through these kind of educational institutions that you can develop a wonderful career outside of football on top of that. So, yeah, but that's an Irish model, because you have to understand, and I think we all are aware it is, some of the best education institutes in the world are here in Ireland.
Absolutely.
So it's not a bad education to get.
Exactly, it is indeed. And, you know, during boom times in Ireland, Stephen, rather than developing a club, a lot of the teams just focused on building a good team. They rented good training facilities and they made the most of it while the sun kind of shone. But it left nothing really for the next generation, or in some cases the next year. We've seen a lot of League of Ireland clubs that ran into trouble. However, Limerick FC, they've kind of been doing it differently, as you mentioned earlier. They announced their last week that they've bought the old site of a boarding school in Brough to turn it into a permanent office and training base with the scope for youth development. There's few clubs, I think, Stephen, in the league that own their own bricks and mortar and have control over their own facilities, and the cost associated with, you know, renting the facilities, that can be a bit of a struggle. But what Limerick are planning here is really remarkable. A lot of good work went in.
Well, yeah, this is real kind of visionary stuff coming here from Limerick, and this hasn't just happened overnight, as you're aware. You know, there's been a lot of years of planning since Pat O'Sullivan went in there. As you say, in terms of the development of the football teams, Limerick City Limerick FC. I'll get shot for that now. Limerick FC. What you call it? You know, these have went in, and in terms of the structure, Dave, is that they have players there now. They have an academy that's starting from 4 years of age, that's moving right up through the ranks. Now, that's going to take time for them to get players through that. But because of this foresight and developing from the bottom up rather than from the top down, you know, the rewards for these are going to be huge. And I think Limerick understand this, that, you know, all you have to do is develop two or three players over a period of time, and you can get good money from selling them off to English clubs. I think they have a link up with Manchester City. But they know for this to go to the next level, they need a base. And to actually go out and secure a base is absolutely sensational, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
You know, we've talked about this. But as you say, to actually go out and secure this base, I believe they're putting all-weather facilities in there. These all-weather facilities will obviously be a source of income to the club if they're going to rent it to the community. And it gives it's a wonderful footing that Limerick are establishing there. It's well documented that Mr. Sullivan and the rest of the people who are involved haven't pumped the money into the team. They've pumped the money into the infrastructure of Limerick FC. They've pumped the money to bring the community on board. Again, we're talking the importance of League of Ireland football and been integrated into the community. It's the top level of football in this country, and they should be the flag bearers for football within their communities. They've done this brilliantly. Between that and the Markets Field, which is their spiritual home and which will be rejuvenated when they do go back, as Cork were when they went back to Turner's Cross. You can see thousands returning to Limerick. But they were torn there not just because of the spiritual home, but because they see the work that Limerick are doing within the community. They see that there's a structure in place, not just from 17-year-olds, 19-year-olds. They've actually went the whole hard and started fundamental skills for 4-year-olds, right through up to their under-19s, right through up to their senior team. And what Limerick are doing there, this to me is what Limerick are doing is what all clubs should try and aspire to. We understand we don't have the money, and we don't have people like Mr. Sullivan and Mr. McManus that can come into every club. But if you look at what Cork are doing, there's hard work, dedication, and putting structures in place and having a plan, a long-term plan, and following that plan, and anything can be done in this country.
Yeah, one of the...
We have to believe in ourselves.
Indeed. One of the remarkable things that I noticed from reading about this fantastic project was the fact that they were making the point that it won't just... The chairman, he was quick to add that it won't just benefit Limerick FC, but it'll benefit the whole community. And you were touching on that, you know, other sports, they'll be able to rent it out to the community for community events, and other sports can take part as well. And I think that's something that of a bit of a trend maybe, Stephen, that's coming across. A lot of other sports are getting involved, are coming together, they're realising that we're a small country, our best facilities and stuff like that is best if we come together rather than always trying to compete, because we know kids at nursery level, they'll play anything.
Yeah, they will. They'll play any sport, and but the facilities have to be there. But in terms when you go to League of Ireland level, and what I'm trying to say here is that the League of Ireland clubs, I believe, have a duty to be the forefront for the clubs. They should be working with all the clubs within. They shouldn't be fighting against them. They should be all coming together to benefit each other. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's you know, to use the facilities, like you say, is that sometimes League of Ireland clubs alienate themselves from the community. Sometimes the community say they look at League of Ireland club businesses are reluctant to put money in because they feel it will just be wasted on wages. But I always felt that if the League of Ireland club had their own schoolboy structure and they were heavily involved within the community and not just the senior team were benefiting, then you will see the local businesses, you'll get greater support because it then becomes community based. It's all inclusive. It's not just about that senior team in League of Ireland. What it is, it's about Limerick being the forefront of a community based professional soccer team that everybody is welcome to come to.
It's exciting stuff, and I really hope you're right, Stephen, and that other clubs do follow suit. It's a whole new way of thinking and a whole new approach, and I think things can only go up, and you know, the game here in Ireland will just improve if that's the way, and you know, we do take it seriously from a whole rather than just splashing cash on wages and stuff like that. Before I let you go, Stephen, I have to ask you about the current goalkeeping situation for the Irish national team. Obviously, there's a couple in the Henderson clan that are doing quite well, and with Martin O'Neill's friendlies coming up soon, we have the likes of Rob Elliott getting some game time as well for Newcastle, but we really need to start getting our keepers playing at the top level, would you say?
Well, absolutely. Like my own son, Stephen, now he's only recovering from, he dislocated his shoulder.
Yeah.
So he's back in full training, and obviously he's played one or two matches for the development squad. So the shoulder is holding up. But it's like you say, Fardy is doing fantastic. You know, he's played for Ireland and he hasn't let them down. Rob Elliott, yesterday I watched him, Rob, sensational for the first half against Southampton. You know,
you can only keep that going for a certain amount of time.
You can only keep that going for so long. Yeah, goalkeeping, it's such a difficult position. It's a lot about judgment time and coming for crosses, coming out of your box. There's a lot, and you need game time to do it. So David is the one that seems to be playing the most. And when he does get in goal for Ireland, he does exceptionally well. There's no doubt in that. But it's like you say, Shea has a decision to make. Does he want to sit on the bench for Aston Villa? I think he proved when he went to Middlesbrough, there's still a lot about him. So he has a decision to make. Does he want to sit on the bench or go out and get game time, which he would do at another club? So at the moment, you know, if Dave gets injured, we're relying on a goalkeeper who's coming in who hasn't done much. So, like you say, it's up to Martin and Roy to really have a look at the goalkeeping avenues now. Young Randolph is doing well at Birmingham, but Birmingham are conceded a lot of goals, and
yeah,
you know, confidence could be down for Darren there as well. So, you know, it is a problem, it's an issue. But the thing about it is that all these goalkeepers are really good goalkeepers. And unfortunately for goalkeepers, you can only play in one position.
Exactly.
And if you're not getting a game at that club, then it becomes difficult.
Yeah, so you reckon just getting games is the main thing?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, do you know, because we're looking and Fardy is playing the most. That's pretty much where it is, and that's reflective in his performances. But goalkeeping is such a unique position, and unfortunately there is, you can only play one position. So if the manager doesn't fancy you, and he's not playing you, and you know, you really do have to go and look somewhere else to try and get a game. So at the moment, it's up to the players. Darren's playing regularly with Birmingham, Dave with Millwall. Young Elliot will get a game, but Krill will come straight back in there. You would have to assume that.
Yeah, exactly.
Shea is up to him. It's up to Shea now. What does he want to do? Does he want to sit on the bench with Aston Villa, or does he want to go out and start playing?
Yeah, indeed. It'll be interesting to see what way that develops. Well, listen, Stephen Henderson, it's been a really fantastic chatting to you about the League of Ireland and the terrific developments in Munster. I hope that a lot that we talked about will come true going forward, and it can only benefit the league. Thanks a million for joining us on the show.
Thanks a million, Dave.
You're listening to the Why Big Football Show on Freak FM. Get involved with the show. Email dave@talkingsport.org. That's dave@talkingsport.org. We're also on Twitter and on Facebook. Chat to you soon. Well, Shamrock won the Battle of the Rovers last week, beating Sligo 1-0 at Tallaght Stadium to take them top. Cork continue their unbeaten run in the League of Ireland, piling more misery on Athlone Town, while Drogheda are slowly becoming the surprise packages this season. To take you to a run-through of last week's results, I can tell you that Shamrock Rovers defeated Sligo 1-0 at Tallaght Stadium. Another defeat for Limerick at Thomond Park, Drogheda United winning 1-0. Dundalk and Bohemians shared the spoils 1-1 at Oriel Park, while Derry and Pats also drew at the Brandywell 0-0 though, and a fantastic game, a cracker at the Carlisle grounds in Bray, while Bray Wanderers 3 UCD 5, who saw that one coming? And Athlone Town, their misery continues, 3-0 Cork City went to Athlone Town Stadium, disappointing for the Midlanders. I'm delighted to be joined by Goal Ireland journalists Ryan Kelly and Peter Staunton, who joined me. Lads, a lot of talking points after last week's League of Ireland fixtures. First things first, though, another win for Cork City, Peter. John Caulfield's side, after four matches, are neck and neck with Shamrock Rovers. Are they genuine contenders down now in Munster?
Well, at this stage of the season, you know, you'd have to say they had a brilliant start. I think their next three games in the league will tell a story, obviously. They've got Shamrock Rovers at Turner's Cross, then they go away to Limerick, I think, and then they host Sligo. So you would say if they come through... you know, those three matches unscathed, sort of with 7 points or so, then you would have to say that this project is really taken off for John Caulfield, and they will be in the mix at the end of the season. Of course, we could be sitting here in, you know, a fortnight, 3 weeks' time and saying, where has it all gone wrong for Cork City? But certainly if they can keep pace over the next few games, you know, and build on the early season momentum that they've had, then, yeah, there's no reason why they can't go all the way.
Ryan, to come to yourself on that, we talked a lot before the season about John Caulfield's vision for Cork and how they were building from scratch, really, when the club came back to the big table. But it's really terrific to see them back where they belong, and they've provided a lot of quality players and Irish internationals in the past. Would you go along with Peter that says it could be a case where we see them contending at the end of the season?
Yeah, I definitely agree with you there, Dave, because in addition to players such as Dan Murray and Colin Healy, who are already there, Caulfield's brought in players that have won leagues, such as Billy Dennehy and Liam Kearney. So they definitely have the experience in their ranks to challenge. But as Peter says, these next few fixtures coming up in April will probably be decisive to see what direction they're going for the rest of the season, you know.
And do you think they have a strength in depth in the squad, Ryan, to get them over the line or to keep them in the title race?
Well, John Caulfield actually, he's actually had a lot of injuries to deal with, but despite that, he's, you know, his team has managed to continue scoring goals. I mean, they've lost Anthony Elding and Danny Morrissey and Michael Rafter to injury, and they've had a few other scares there, but they've still managed to put away teams to grind out results. I mean, they did very well in Derry to to beat Derry in difficult conditions. So, and they rested a lot of players for the Munster Senior Cup semi-final, which they lost. But the priority is certainly on the league for John Caulfield.
Yeah, I think a lot of Cork City fans would have made that point that it wasn't all that bad to lose the Munster Senior Cup semi-final to Douglas Hall there. Peter, would you agree with that, what Ryan was saying? They have been ravaged by injuries, but if Caulfield can continue doing this juggling act and making the right strategic moves, then they're definitely in with a chance.
Oh, absolutely. I would agree with that. But if you look around their squad, you know, obviously they lost Shane Duggan and Daryl Horgan and, you know, at the end of last season. And obviously Kieran Kilduff was there and he scored a lot of goals for them. But one thing that Caulfield has put on this team is a freshness. You know, there's a vibrancy about the Cork squad at the minute. You know, it's no secret that they're one of the best underage clubs in the country now. But when you see younger guys from the area coming through into the first team, it's always positive. Danny Morrissey, of course, as Ryan has mentioned there. But also, you know, the likes of John Dunleavy and Garrod Morrissey, John Kavanagh, guys like this, it's good for the league in a way to see young players coming through, but especially that they're fighting for fighting at the sharp end of the table, and they're not just, you know, putting players in willy nilly. I mean, they're keeping pace with Shamrock Rovers for a reason. You know, they've got a philosophy, as John Caulfield has down there, and altogether it's positive, and long may it continue.
Long may it continue. Wish Cork the very best of luck going forward this season. And you mentioned, Peter, Shamrock Rovers. They enjoyed another solid win over Sligo Rovers. Early season wins this year in contrast to the start of last season. What's changed? I know Crawley, when he came in, he said it was a little bit of a building process. It didn't really work under Kenny, but things are really starting to look up for Shamrock Rovers.
Certainly are, Dave. What I would say at this stage is that I think the starting lineup for Trevor Crawley, it's got more of a settled composition this season. You know, it was like picking the lotto numbers last year trying to pick Shamrock Rovers' team, but they have shifted off a lot of dead wood in the summer, and they've trimmed the squad down to, you know, to 12, 16 players who can actually, you know, make a difference in the first team rather than, you know, having a big bloated squad. There's good partnerships all over the field. Especially, you know, bringing in Conor Kenna was an inspired move. Him and Jason McGuinness looked like the best central defensive combination in the league. And then you move forward through the team. And obviously the likes of Ryan Brennan, who's been a very, very shrewd acquisition, has slotted in very well alongside Shane Robinson. We know the quality that Ronan Finn possesses. But I think the big difference for Shamrock Rovers this season is the former Kieran Kilduff. It's always difficult when you have to chop and change your strikers, as Shamrock Rovers did last season, probably to their detriment. But now they've got Kilduff at the sharp end of the attack and playing so well and scoring goals and looking very, very confident. It means that they've a reference point to build towards. And, you know, that's borne out by the fact that they're top of the league.
Yeah, they're doing very well. Kieran Kilduff seems to have come back with a point to prove. He's come back to Tella after going on loan to Cork last season. He scored loads of goals last season. So he's top of their scoring table at the minute, and he set up the goal against Sligo Rovers, showing great strength. He's got he possesses a great physicality about him. You know, he can bully the best defenders in the league. I mean, for instance, he really gave Cliff Byrne and Ryan McBride, and they are the two of the most strong defenders in the league, and he gave them a difficult time down at Tala.
And just on Kieran Kilduff, Peter, to come to you on this one, we've seen Roy Keane was making a point that maybe, you know, with performances like that, there's no way they can be ignoring players in the League of Ireland like that. And maybe, you know, there is a couple of friendlies coming up, and if they are picking a big squad, maybe the likes of Kieran Kilduff could be putting his hand up. It wouldn't be the first time that League of Ireland players have gotten international recognition and even gotten called up for friendlies.
Yeah, well, I think the next thing for League of Ireland players is you know, not to have ex-League of Ireland players in the Ireland squad, but to have current League of Ireland players in the Ireland squad. And, you know, the guys like Seamus Coleman and Shane Long and David Ford, they don't become international standard just on the basis that they move to England. You know, one day they're not good enough and the next day they are. So one of the positive steps that Noel King took when he was in temporary charge of the team, of course, was putting League of Ireland players like Richie Towell training with the senior team ahead of the international matches. But with these matches coming up and very little riding on them, and certainly Ireland struggling for a replacement for Robbie Keane, then I would say, you know, there's no problem for me putting somebody like Kieran Kilduff forward for nomination, even if he's just gone into the long list, as it were. You know, he's a big guy. He can look after himself. He's got that physicality. And as Ryan said, and he's got a great goal scoring touch. And, you know, the striking position is a funny one. I think you really need to pick players on form. And if Kilduff can, you know, get himself into double figures by the time that the squad is named, then, yeah, it would be no surprise for me to see him named alongside the rest of the Ireland squad.
Okay, that would be very interesting to see indeed. Ryan, to come to yourself on Sligo Rovers, they seem a long way off the pace. They're so far down the table so early in the season. It's going to be a tough job to rectify this. It's similar to Shamrock Rovers there two seasons ago, where they had achieved so much that maybe their players run out of steam. How do they rectify it in Sligo?
Yeah, they look quite shorn of confidence there. They've been extremely inconsistent. I mean, they played very well in the Stanta Sports Cup before, you know, but they're struggling in the league. They've lost their first three of their first four games. They didn't take their chances against Shamrock Rovers. Players like Eric Odhiambo and Sean Maguire, they fluffed chances, and that's a sign of a team that's struggling confidence-wise. You know, I think there's a lack of leaders in the team at the moment. They're missing players as the leadership of Gavin Pearce, who's out injured, and others in the midfield. They're not really just stepping up. Seamus Keneally is struggling to strike a bit of a partnership with Colley. So it'll be interesting to see how Barraclough tries to lift this team, because they do have the quality, as they showed last season, winning the FAI Cup and challenging. They had a blistering start. But it's a difficult task now for Barraclough to lift his team after this poor start.
Yeah, Peter, also expected to impress were St. Patrick's Athletic, defending champions, as we know. But it hasn't really worked out for them thus far. Should they be worried about Shamrock Rovers and course setting the place so early on in the league?
Yeah, well, the thing about St. Patrick's, they don't really have many excuses. Fair enough, they did lose Kenneth to Shamrock Rovers, but they have, you know, replace him with Ken O'Mahon, and they've actually strengthened elsewhere in the team. You know, you think of the likes of Chambers and Quigley and of course Keith Fahey coming back from England. You know, they don't really have too many excuses. You know, they've got a settled squad, they've got the same manager as last year, but you'd have to say that the defending hasn't been great, the football hasn't been great. They were stifled really by Derry on Friday, and they couldn't really find any solutions. In fact, there were probably one great save in the last minute from losing all 3 points. They do have class players. They should come good as the season goes on, but the danger is they come good when they're too far back. I reckon for Liam Buckley at this stage, his focus will be just on keeping tabs on the likes of Shamrock Rovers and Cork and not letting them get too far away. And hopefully by the time that their Champions League campaign comes around, he'll have everything firing effectively, because it's not a case of having weak players there at St. Pat's. It's just that it's not really clicking for them at the minute.
Ryan, to come to you on one of their players, Keith Fahey, one of the major talking points at the start of the season, rejoining St. Patrick's Athletic. His form has been a little bit patchy, as has his fitness, some people might say. It hasn't been just as easy to slot back into this league for him as we might have expected it to be. I know Damien Duff again has stated his intentions to come back and play in the League of Ireland. What should he expect? Obviously, the league has come on leaps and bounds if players like Keith Fahey are finding it a little bit difficult.
Well, I think that it's a league that's full of young players, you know, and that energy is reflected in performances. Whenever players like Fahey come back, or if Damien Duff comes back, they'll have to adjust from the intensity of the Premier League or in the Championship to the sheer energetic nature of the matches and the players that they're coming up against week in, week out. So it's a difficult transition, I suppose, for someone like Fahey, who's been struggling with injuries. He's come back there and he's had another injury, so it's tough for players to come in.
Tough for them to come in, but hopefully he will get back to his best and we can certainly enjoy the talents watching him play for Pats. A quick word on Drogheda, Peter. Two wins and two draws. Life after Mick Cook might not be too bad at all.
Yeah, obviously at the start of the season, you know, we were unsure what to expect from a side coach by Robbie Horgan. But, you know, Mick Cook made Drogheda very tough to beat. The football mightn't have been so exciting, but so long as they could depend on Declan O'Brien, then they were always in with a shout. And as we saw, of course, going to Thomond Park, it's not many teams are going to come out of there with wins this season. And to go and snatch a 1-0 win, I mean, that's very, very impressive. Undefeated at the start of the season. You know, a lot of people seem to have this habit at the start of every year of writing Drogheda off or not putting them into the mix-up for, you know, for the cups or into the picture at the top of the league. But, you know, at this stage, you'd have to say they're going to cause a lot of people trouble. They're going to take points off teams at the top and teams at the bottom. And you know, they're not going to win the league, but I do think that they'll be sort of, you know, third or fourth come the end of the season.
Looking pretty good there in County Louth. And Ryan, UCD, they've been described as the entertainers so far this season. They've scored 9, as many as Shamrock Rovers, but they've conceded 10. It's how many you can score, can we score more, that kind of thing. It's remarkable that they can punch above their weight in this division. Do you expect this to go on, or will they burn out and those goals will stop raining down, do you think?
Well, it's hard to say, but I'd say they've got great belief in their squad at the moment, and they've got a lot of talent in there. Players such as Eamon Ben Mohammed, Kille Morrison, who scored the hat trick, including a great wonder strike against Bray at the weekend. They've really got some belief there at the moment, and they're sixth in the league at the moment. But I'd imagine come the end of the season that they'd probably be in the lower reaches, you know. They haven't got the same experience as some of the other squads. So that kind of thing will tell towards the end of the season.
Peter, what do you think UCD's aim will be this season, looking at it? Do you think they'll want to tighten up their defence, stop leaking these goals, and maybe if they have the ability to get goals in these wide open type games, maybe that's what they should go for?
Well, the aim, you know, this year, like every other year, David, I think it's just keep them in the top flight. Obviously, Aaron Callan has them, you know, going in the right direction. They're usually in the lower reaches of the league at this stage. So to find themselves in mid-table, I think they'll be delighted with that. But one thing that UCD is, and I think it'll always remain, is one of the finest finishing schools for talent in the League of Ireland. You know, time and again, they produce these attacking players for not only for UCD, but for other clubs as well. And with Ben Mohammed and with Killian Morrison now coming through, I think they'll be the next two to make an impact this season. They'll be there with goals and assists all season long. And then they'll probably get a move elsewhere in the league, and who knows, maybe even in England.
UCD players, the next big boys in town. Thanks a million there to Peter Staunton and Ryan Kelly of Goal Ireland. Just a quick look at the table before we go. Shamrock Rovers and Cork City tied neck and neck on 10 points at the top. Drogheda closing in on 8 points with Dundalk in 4th place on 7. Pats and UCD both on 6 points with Bowes on 5. Bray Wanderers on 4 points with Derry City on 3. Roddy Collins there having a bit of a tough time with Derry. Sligo Rovers, Limerick and Athlone Town make up the bottom 3. Athlone yet to register a point on the board. And Sligo Rovers, very surprising seeing them down there at this time. This week, a couple of nice ties. St. Pat's taking on Dundalk. Cork City host Shamrock Rovers, a belter that should be down at Turner's Cross. Derry are home to Sligo. Drogheda United take on Athlone Town. UCD against Limerick, which might be another belter with loads of goals, hopefully. And Bohemians take on Bray Wanderers. So if you're around, get down to some of those cracking League of Ireland ties. Well, I'm afraid we're out of time here on League of Ireland Goalmouth. Remember, you can follow the show by following the hashtag LOI. We're also on goal.com. From myself, Dave O'Grady, have a very good evening.